That's what they're dealing with, but I thank God for getting us here in a time when we're looking at each other thinking maybe the planes are going to shut the airports down and all that, but God took care of his children because
we were. No, that's what Maddie was thinking. Y'all might not be able to go back home, Nana.
Yeah, she was thinking a different way.
I said, you got to pray in unison with Nana.
Well, she was praying for that.
When Moses was with God and at the burning bush, he said, remove your sandals for you are on holy ground. We're going to pray to God this morning, our Father and Lord in heaven, and understand that we are standing on holy ground. This is God's house. We are his children. When we pray and talk to God, wherever we are, is holy ground. Amen. So pray with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Be seated and give him praise and glory this morning. How many know that a drink of water refreshes your body? What can God give us greater than water? Amen. Life and air. A beautiful drink of water can refresh your body, can heal your bones, can heal your muscles, can make you feel better. Water. Thank you, Lord, for that. Let's enjoy God together. Responsive reading, Psalm number 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. This is perfect. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth as fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. We need to teach more people about God in the Bible. We need to tell more people about Jesus. Be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Hallelujah. Rivers of what? Water. His delight is in the law. Anybody who loves God delights in the law, in this book. He takes it and brings it into himself. That's how you change. You don't hear sermons and change. It's when you read this book, right, Gene? When you read this book is when you change. We watched a man the other day, bless his heart. I was enjoying his sermon. We were enjoying. He had 1,000 people there. And he was a great man of God. I really appreciate his work, and he has a beautiful ministry. But he started saying something, and I said, Lord, how can it be? I want to say it one more time. The woman that God, they brought this prostitute to Jesus, and they brought her by herself because they wanted to condemn her and they wanted to trap Jesus. What was her name? We don't know. Why don't we know? Because the Bible didn't what? Tell us. Now there was another woman in the Bible who had demons, possessed by many, many demons. And God, Jesus cleansed her of all the demons. What was her name? Mary Magdalene. And what did she do the rest of her life? Devoted her life to Jesus. Every second, every minute, she wanted to be with him. She was there at the cross. Mary Magdalene was not the what? The prostitute. And when he said that, I said, it's too easy to explain because it's in the Bible. But I just wanted to share that with you again, that sometimes you read and you miss it. But this word explains everything. It really does explain everything. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray together this morning before we get into church. Lord, if God has called you here today, then open your minds and open your hearts and receive him. Don't see me. Don't see Pastor Larry. Don't see Doreen singing. See past all of us. See God. See past us to God. If he has brought you here today, then open your minds and your hearts. I am just a messenger. I am sharing God with you. I am a vessel who loves God, who loves his word, and I love his promises. Remove as much of you as you can this morning. Remove self. Remove your thoughts. Pray. God called me here today. He has something for me today. Don't let me leave without it. And I tell you this, it's up to you. Hear our prayer, O Lord, as we receive this word in Jesus' name. Church says, what a beautiful place to be in the presence of the Lord. Give him praise. Let's praise ring from our church. I know it's only my prayer, but I wish the noise would be so loud that the people out there say, whatever's going on inside there, I want to be a part of it. It's what we got. This is what God has blessed us with, to do more for him. I want to do more for him today than I did yesterday. I want more of God in my life today than I did yesterday. I need a believer to join me in prayer. Can I get one believer?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I got one. This is God. Marilyn and Chuck, Deacon Chuck, have put quizzes in the bulletin. I was looking what Jeff showed me. You know what that is? More Bible. The greatest church ever preaches one thing. Everybody want to guess what that one thing is, Yvonne? The Bible. You preach the Bible. You read the Bible. Why? Because the Bible is whose word? Hallelujah. If I told you today, first fruits, if brothers and sisters, if I told you today for first fruits, I want you to read 3 pages a day starting in the new year. 3 pages. How many more pages would that be than you read yesterday? 3? You're all laughing at me, but that's the truth. You see, you want things and you hunger for things and you're asking God for things. And the last thing you do is go to God and hear in the book. Open up to Proverbs, open up to Psalm, open up to Paul, up anything. And then when you talk to God, he can talk to you. So the first fruits say, Lord, I've been calling on you for all these things I'm believing for. I need a healing in my family. My friends need a healing. And God is saying, read my word. I will help you. Draw closer to God and he will what, church? Draw closer to you. The word says so. Don't look at me. It doesn't stop. I'm just a vessel. I'm just your messenger. But I'm your messenger to God. I love this book. And I love it for you. Hallelujah. Thank you. So anything that we can add as Second Congregational that adds you reading this book is a positive thing for your life. Not for my life, because I want this book. It's for your life. Here's our quiz for the week. As the bride is speaking to her beloved in the book of Song of Solomon, she reveals that I am my beloved, and my beloved is strong, my beloved is lovely, or my beloved is mine. She reveals that I am my beloved, and my beloved is strong. How many want to think strong? How many think my beloved is lovely? That's quite a word. She wondered, how many believe that my beloved is mine? I love that. Song of Solomon says, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. There you go. Like what fruit does the Lord say he found in Israel in the 9th chapter of Hosea? Don't look it up now, Yvonne. Like what fruit does the Lord say he found Israel in the 9th chapter of Hosea? Did he find them to be grapes? Like what fruit does the Lord say he found? Grapes or figs, B or C, pomegranates? That's quite a word to write out if you never read out pomegranates. So like what fruit does the Lord say he found Israel in the 9th chapter of Hosea? How many think grapes, A? How many think B, figs? And C, pomegranates? Hosea 9:10. The Lord says that he found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. Yeah, I got you, Dave, didn't I? The one that doesn't sound like the one is the one. Who does Joseph, while in prison, correctly predict will be killed by the Pharaoh? Who does Joseph, while he was in prison, he correctly predicts who will be killed by the Pharaoh? Is it the Pharaoh's butler? How many think it's the Pharaoh's baker? How many think it's the Pharaoh's wife? He predicts, correctly predicts who will be killed by the Pharaoh. How many think it was the butler? The butler did it. How many think it was the baker? And how many think it was the Pharaoh's wife? The Pharaoh hanged the chief baker. Yep. Remember the dreams that the baker and the butler had, and Joseph told the butler that you will be restored back to the being the wine bearer. Gene, you got that one right? There you go. Hey, I got a bonus one. How many questions do you put in there? I got to look, Marilyn.
About eight.
You put eight? You're working double overtime. Somebody needs a raise. According to Jacob, how many times did Laban change Jacob's wages while he served him? Laban, that better? Laban? Oh, that's right, Laban was a store, Laban. According to Jacob, how many times did Laban change Jacob's wages while he served him? How many think 5 years, or 5 times, or 10 times would be, and 15 times is C? How many times did Laban change Jacob's wages? How many think 5 times, the Bible says? How many think 10 times, the Bible says? How many think 15 times he changed Jacob's wages? In Genesis 31:7, he changed my wages 10 times. So if I told you today to read 3 pages of the Bible starting the new year, that would be 3 pages more than you read yesterday.
And that's seven questions.
You have 7 questions. That's a great number. 7 is a good number. It's one of the greatest numbers ever written, because it was on the back of the greatest ball player that ever played the game. Don't argue with me, Jim. Thank you, Lord. Jeff, we're glad you're here today, brother. I hope you enjoy yourself. We have wonderful fellowship afterwards. We have a little extra besides the sandwiches for y'all downstairs so we can enjoy each other's company. I love that when we're all together enjoying each other's company. Let me read something to you before I start. It's in the book of Joshua. You may have heard this before. Listen to what I'm going to read. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. What kind of success? Good success. This book of the law, this Bible, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. That's 3 pages, more than you read yesterday. That you may observe to do according to all that is written in this book, for then you will make your way prosperous. I don't know any of you who doesn't want to be prosperous. And then you will have good success. Hallelujah. What causes division? Not God. Can I have an amen? God, man does. Who wants to be right? The smartest. Who wants to be the smartest? Not realizing the damage it causes the church. Foolishness. Disputes that lead to nowhere. For 2,000 years, it's been happening. Communion. Does it turn into his body or doesn't it? Some people believe that the communion turns into his body. Some people don't. Guess what happens? Division. Does it say in the Bible whether it does or no? Do you want to believe that it does? Fine. Does it make you wrong not to? No. But it causes a division. Who caused it? Man caused it. Because they wanted salvation. Anybody hear of salvation? Can somebody lose salvation? Some people teach that they can. Other people teach that they can't. Guess what happened? Division. Does the Bible say you can lose salvation? Take it up with God. You read it. You have your foundation. You have your standing on the rock. You think about confession. Should I confess to man or should I confess to God? Is it right or wrong? But that caused division. Some people don't believe that you should confess to man. You should confess to God. It caused division in the church. Pageantry. Incense. Separation. Some churches believe that you separate the sinners. You can't have sinners in your church. I don't know how that's possible, but that's what people, some churches believe. We need to separate ourselves from the sinner. Put the sinners over here and all the righteous, wonderful people who never sin over here. It's just the truth. Infallibility. That's a big word. People believe that somebody here, given a name by man, is infallible. Right or wrong, it's not for me to say. I'm just telling you, that causes other people to say, well, I can't believe that, so I'm separating. Again, God's house is what? Separated again by division. Why? What causes it? Man causes it. Membership. Obligations. What about Jesus? What about Jesus? You know, what about telling people about Jesus and the Holy Spirit? Why isn't that good? We got all these separations because man says, well, I can't go along with that, so I'm going over here. And these people, and all it does is tear the church apart. The bride is not a building. Say that with me, please. The bride is not a building. It is not a name. It is not what we say it is. It is God's faithful. The bride is the people. He's saying, I'm coming back for a bride, unblemished bride, Lily, which means he's coming back for people who love him. Not a name, not a place, not a name that we give anything, not a place that we call ourselves. He's coming back for people who love him. That's why he's coming back. God's faithful. Other religions have other books. Can I get an amen? Trust me, I'm not judging. I'm just asking you to think. They have different names for them. Some just call it the book of, you fill in the book blank, the name of whatever. Missals, named after the name of the church. Some of their books are named after the name of the church. It's a name man-made. It's okay. Congregational, Baptist, Puritan, whatever. It's a man-made name. Amen. Is it right? Is it wrong? You have to decide. But does it help? What help is needed for the Bible? Anybody? If I asked you, tell me one thing that would help you the Bible. Well, help me understand it. Well, we got a Bible with so many notes and so many explanations. You read one page with everything we have here. There's no way you can't understand what you read. What help was needed for the Bible? You decide. Forget what I just read to you. Joshua 1:8. You need to forget that. This book of the law shall not depart from my mouth, but I will meditate on it day and night, and I will have good success and prosper. If this Bible needs change, then I guess that's changed too. Amen? So you need to just put, if you're going to have another book with other rules, then you just need to put that one aside. Okay. Two books now. You got to go to church, and now you got two books. How many seen that? You know what I'm talking? How many know what I'm talking about? Being honest. My question is then, how well do you know this book? You got another book there. You want to read that other book? It's good. We got this book, the book of whatever you want to call it. That's a good thing. You got another book. You got people to read. But I ask you now, you got this book, and then you got this book. So my question is, how well do you know this book? You're going to the other book, so you must know this one pretty well. You must know all the promises, and you know must understand all of Isaiah. You must understand all of what Moses said. You must understand all of what Paul said. It's teachings. All the prophecies. Jesus. What Jesus said. You got another book now, so you're reading this other book, so you must know everything here, because, you know, when you got two books, when one book is open, guess what the other book is? Closed. If one book is open, the other is closed. Or one book explaining and changing the other book. You don't need anything to explain this book. God's explaining it to you. Well, people say, the times have changed. What was that song? Jeff, the times, they are a-changing. Remember that song? The times, they are a-changing. Pretty good, right? Thank you. We need to adjust. Are you with me? We need to adapt. No, David, thank you. Well, here it is. Are you ready? How many are ready? How many are awake today? I was so excited last night about church today. Wake up, come on, shake the roses, man. I've written you a new book. Give me praise, come on. There you go. I've written you a new book. It's called The Book of Larry. Not fear. Along with your Bible, the book from God, I will give you one of mine. Wonderful, right? Do not worry, do not fret. God spoke to me. Nobody's believing me. Zip. He said, come Larry, I have new things to show you. Things I did not mention in my holy scriptures. Are you all laughing at me? The world is a new place. Amen? Can you tell me amen? The world's a new place. You got computers. You got smartphones. You got all this stuff. You can do all the things that Moses didn't have. When Moses wanted to go somewhere, he had to walk. Thank God I didn't have to walk from Tennessee like Daniel Boone did. So the world's changing. So we need to change with the world. Can I have an amen? You're going to love my book. Hallelujah. New places. The world is a new place, always changing. And we must change with it. We must adapt. Jesus said that my pastor's lost his mind. Not that easy for me to lose my mind, trust me. Here's the problem. How many want to hear the problem? Now, I wrote a new book, and we got to change with the times, because the times are what? Hallelujah. Except now, you got to go back to this book and cross out a few things. Are you with me? Ecclesiastes 1:9. Now, I got to cross this out now. You got that which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. I'm in big trouble now. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new. It has already been in ancient times before us. Ecclesiastes 1, 9, and 10. How many things are new?
Nothing.
Wait a minute, but I got a new book. Because we wrote another book. Because this book said we needed to change. We need to alter our thinking on what sin is and what sin isn't. We need to get along with people. We need to revive the Bible. Because new things are happening. But then I read that and I think, Gene, you got to take your pencil and cross it out so you can't read that. You have to. That which has been seen is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new. It has already been in ancient times before us. Anytime you hear that, you got to read that and you think, wait a minute. What's that other book for? There's nothing new. So somebody said, I heard a new word from God. I said, time out. Time out. You got to cross that other thing up because the Bible says there's how many new? Nothing. I got a new book. Those words don't matter. Disregard those words from Ecclesiastes. Forget that I read it. Those words don't matter today. My book should be added to his book. Or else, you may be forced to endure his teachings alone. See? Read my book and you won't have to endure all his teachings. You won't have to endure all the sins and all the things in life. I'm just going to change the small stuff. God wants us to change. I will lead you. I will help you. My book, now listen to my book. I want you to understand what my book has and what it doesn't have. I want to be honest with you. My book doesn't have any other promises than what are in the Bible. My book holds no promise except the one God has already given. Or more hope because it is God who gives us hope. So this other book I'm writing, this other book I have for you, doesn't have anything new in it from God. Or any new hope or any new promises. Because all the promises are, guess where?
In the Bible.
Right here. Everything I need is where? In here. All the promises from who? Where? In here. In this book. Where I just read to you that nothing is new. But we got to have new. We got new stuff. God didn't know about cell phones. Jesus didn't know we'd invent computers and stuff. I want to help you. My book holds no promise except the ones that God already given. Or more hope because it is God who gives us hope. Let me read you something. 13. Hebrews 13:8. Listen to this. You got to forget this too because it's Jesus Christ. The same yesterday and today and forever. Wow. He's the what? The same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Does God need to adjust? Does he need to rethink anything? Cool. But you got to have my book because I want you to adjust and rethink. I can't offer you anything more than God offered you. I can give you a new name. We can rename everything and have a new name that the man will give us. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Isn't that beautiful? That's your God. You know the God you're praying to that you hope that hears you? He hears you. And he's the same. You can stand on that rock because your God is the same. That same God who's promised you yes and amen. That same God is blessing you. The same God. That's the same God. He hasn't changed yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That should give you hope for the new year. That should give you peace for the new year. That should say to you, I want to be closer to that guy. I want to know more about that guy because that's where my promises are coming from. Mine is more of a book to keep us bound together. Yet you will come to know and feel as if you had found something more. You'll be more blessed because I will give you a new name. If you ask me, that's about the only thing another book does. Gives you a new name. A new name given by who? Man. Call yourself what you want to call yourself. But you cannot be saved without knowing Jesus. Amen? You can't be saved without knowing Jesus. You may have never known the name Jesus or the Bible or his promises. Sometimes it's fascinating to me when I meet people who are Christians and love God but don't know what's in the Word. It's fascinating to me in a way that I thought for sure that they would know that. That the only way to salvation is through Jesus. The only way to pray is using his name because he's my advocate. He's my counselor. People don't understand counselor. He's going to talk to me because he knows me better than you all know me. He's been places with me that I don't want anybody else to go. But he was there so he can counsel me. He can tell me what I need because he's been there. But people don't know that. You know, and you knew that there had to be more. Before you found God, before you discovered that, before you had any hope, you knew that something different had to be happening. This can't be all there is. Something greater than what you have. Hallelujah. A better way, a new plan, help from somewhere. The who, what, where, and when. Not in pageantry, not in man's laws, not in someone else telling you what to do or how to do it. I have one book. I didn't bring it with me because I didn't want to scare you, but I have that book. I have my book. And I have God's book. I have my book, the book of Larry. I have the Bible. Like other places, I have two books. You can pick that book. It tells you all about this and maybe a little bit about God. Or you have the Bible. It's a simple question. Which one you want to pick? Anybody? Where do you want to go? You want to trust me or you want to trust God? You want to trust some other man who wrote? Because this says it's inspired by God. The men and women who wrote in this book said it was inspired by God. God led them to write what he wrote to us. All those promises. Pick one. Now it's up to you. I ask you, first fruits, 3 pages a day. 3 pages. You can read 3 pages in 4 minutes. Maybe less. Read a psalm. Say, I'm going to read one psalm a day. Good, go for it. And if it doesn't matter to you, find another one the next day. Or Proverbs. Or read Paul's writing in Galatians or Ephesians. Talking about love and talking about peace and talking about joy. If you don't have enough joy, say, God, I need more joy. If you're looking for something or somebody, ask God to show you. Bring it to you. If you're praying for somebody you don't know, you haven't seen in a long time, and you're worried about them, ask God to send somebody to them so they can hear from God. These are all promises from God. These are all the reasons why you want God in your life. Pick one. With this book, I have to tell you, though, I have to give you with this book, the Bible, not my book, with his book, it's a new day every day. It's a new way every day. And so I ask you this question. And it's between you and God, so don't nobody talk out loud. How much junk do you keep with you? How much junk do we carry every day that God has to wade through before he answers your prayer? How many things does he have to clean? How many things does he have to fix before he can answer your prayer? How much junk do you carry with him that he says, excuse me, pardon me, and then he gets to you? That's between you and God. You see, we all have that. We all have that junk. We all have the things that separate us from God, the things that we think we need when we need God more than anything else. Because he provides all our ready need. He provides all our need. Not needs. He provides all our need. When you need it, he will what? Provide it. How much does he have to remove to help you? But here's the beautiful part about your God. That's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. How many want to hear something good? Let me tell you something good. He will never tire. He will never stop or give up if you keep calling for Him to come. He doesn't. He doesn't grow tired. Remember this, brothers and sisters. Remember this today as your first fruits, because this is where it all begins with you. If you knew how deep I got into this book when my day came that I knew I needed God more than anything else in the world, you know how I just got into these pages and read every note and every message because I needed something in my life greater and more everything than I could ever imagine. If you knew how this book changed my, not a sermon, I love my pastors, they gave great sermons and I wrote a lot of things down, but it was this book that changed me. Remember this, in every prophecy in this book, in every vision in this book, His word has never changed, not one time. Every prophecy that came to be, whether it be 1,000 years or 500 years, every prophecy that was read by the prophets in the Old Testament came to be exactly as God gave them to hear it and see it. Hallelujah. It never changed. What God showed Peter was the same thing as He showed Isaiah and Moses. It never had to change because it came from God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and in the Word, Gene, was God. It didn't have to change. Everything that He talked to Moses about, He talked to Isaiah about. Nothing changed. His promises, His words, His commandments never changed. His blessings never changed. He said, do this and follow Me and I shall. He said, stay faithful to Me, keep your eyes on Me, and I shall bless you. I shall hold you. I shall supply all your need. He said that from the first page to Revelation, that I will supply all your need. All you have to do is hang on. Sometimes we hold on a little tighter because our faith is a little weaker and we think we have to squeeze, when God is saying, no, I'm right here. I'm right here. You got to this day. You got to the last week in December of 2020, maybe the worst year that we've ever seen in our generation. The worst year we could have ever imagined, where schools are closed, churches are closed, businesses are shut down. The entire nation has stopped living. So this is a year, if I told you 2 years ago, you would have laughed. You would have run out of church. And Larry is crazy. But look what happened this year. And look where you are in this church today. We stayed in this church. We've been open in this church today. All the way back from May, when other churches have said we're going to... And we weren't being boastful. We weren't being bragging. We just said we need to be together. This is as important, as essential as anything else in our lives. This book is essential in your life. Trust me. You read a newspaper, read the sports page, read anything, but read one page of this a day. If that's one page more than you were yesterday, then look what you're doing with God. Look what you're doing with God. If you just open up and read one page, say, that didn't really matter to me. Say, good, but you started something new. You opened a door for yourself, a commitment to yourself with God. And then you could start testing God. Anybody ever want to test God? Fred, come on, get the hand up there. You want to test Him. Okay, you said you're going to supply my need. Where is it? Good for you. You get mad when somebody gets sick. You said, Lord, I'm praying. Why isn't that person getting better? Good for you, because now you're testing God. I don't like the people I work with. I need to change. Well, then you change. You show them something different, and they'll have to change around you. Good for you. You're calling on God. Help me change. I want to do better. I want to meet somebody. I want to fall in love and meet somebody. Good for you. Call on God. He's got somebody waiting for you. If you don't believe me, just look at John and Anne-Marie. Look at that. No, it's true. Over 2 years. 2 years they sat in the same church together. Never talked to each other. Never. Never. They liked each other. How you doing? Good to see you. Thank you, babe. Then one day, the light goes on. He's a pretty nice guy. That's what I was. You know anything about this John guy? I said, well, Anne-Marie, I've known him a long time. He's a pretty nice guy. Pretty humble fella. He's not a wealthy man. He's, you know, he's no Trump. He doesn't have billions of dollars. But he's a good guy. Faithful guy. Been faithful to my friend of mine, right, Jeff? He's been your friend for a long time. Faithful. And he helps her move a piece of furniture. And then he looks at her again. That's a girl. I'm looking for a girl. I'm not looking for somebody, because we all know, we saw with Brother John, he picked a couple of people he liked, and they were nice people, but they took from him. They didn't add anything. See, when you're with somebody, you should add to it. We saw that with John. We love him. And we saw Anne Marie, who lost her husband, who she adored. She loved him. And God took him home, and she was by herself for a while. And she looked at him and said, "That's a guy. And he's in my house, moving my furniture, driving me around, taking me places." She's seen more in the last year than she's seen the 10 years before that. He takes her to Massachusetts, takes her to all the places that they go and visit, because they're a couple now. Amen? And they're looking forward to 2021 to do even greater things as a couple. They found something. God was here with them all the time. It was right here in front of their eyes, and they couldn't see it. So you have to see it that way. Okay, maybe she or he is not here today, but God knows exactly where she is. You stay faithful. He will bring her. He will show you. And here's the beautiful part. She will want to be here with you. He will want to be here with you. If you meet somebody and say, "Well, I don't go to church," you say, "Well, you're not the right person for me, because I depend on God. I depend on a man or woman who knows God." We might not agree with everything in the Bible. You know, people still disagree with certain things in the Bible. But that doesn't mean that you're not with God and you're not walking with God. Let me tell you, my wife and I have disagreements. It's true. Amen. Just ask any other husband. We were driving the other day, and her son Teddy was driving the car. Thank you, Lord. No, I'm 75 miles an hour down the highway doing this. "How you doing back there? Everything good?" My wife, who tells me where to drive and how to drive, and I thought it was just me. "Teddy, look out! Teddy, that guy is pulling." And I'm thinking, it's not just me. And then we were going somewhere, and her brother Mike was driving. Whew. He's right there with Teddy. Mike is a little older. It's the only difference. "Mike, that car's going. Mike, look out for the truck. Mike," and I'm glad she was doing it, because he wasn't paying attention. I said, "It's not just me." So you think your wife or your husband picks on you? You think that, "Oh, it's just your house?" No. That's called life. I think that's God's little joke, because he enjoys that. He said, "Hey, Jesus, watch this. Watch this. She's going to pick on him. Watch it. This is great. Watch. I'm going to do that." No, they yell it. See? But we knew together, even though my granddaughter wanted her to stay, we knew that this is where we needed to be. I didn't want to be anywhere else except right here on Sunday morning with you, talking about Jesus, talking about this sermon. Hallelujah. First fruits, a new year, a new beginning. Give this one to God. Thank you, Lord. And this is what it says in Romans about this book and about my God. Romans 1:16. You could read this at home. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." Everyone who believes. We got Brother Zip and Lily here. We gave them salvation. We gave them, they had Jesus all their life. Maybe Lily didn't know. But now they have salvation. Now they have a different path. Now they have some more hope than they ever thought possible. When people see Lily now, there's something different about her. I'm not picking her. I'm telling you the truth. When you're walking with God, when you're standing with God and you feel that different, all of a sudden people see something different in you. They see it. They see a smile. They see something that, whoa, there's something special. What is it, God? Leave them confused if you want to, but lead them to God. Let people see God in your lives today. Let people see the glory of God in what we're doing today. But it's in this book. Thank you, Lord. It's in this book. Revelation 22:7. You probably have it. I think Marilyn probably has it written out in the bulletin. Thank you, Lord. "Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." Which book? This book. Which book? Keeps the prophecies of which book? This book, the Bible. Not the book of Larry, not the book of any other religion, not the book of any other man-made religion, but this book. I believe it. I am a pastor who stands on this book. I will not be moved to the left or the right. I will not be told what is and what isn't. If it's not in the Bible, he didn't want me to know. If it's in the Bible, I will search for it and I will find it. I will find the promise. I will find the words to stand on. I will lead you nowhere else but where this book tells me to lead you, because I know that if this church becomes a Bible reading book, and really like the quizzes that you're putting in the bulletin, makes my heart kind of feel funny, because you know why? It's more God. You see, we're expanding. I do the quiz on Sunday, but now in your bulletin are more quiz. It's more God. It's more this book. And we can't fail if we stand with God. Give him praise, church. Salvation is of Jesus. Can you lose your salvation? You talk to God. You ask God to show you if it's that important to you. If you're worried about you losing your salvation, trust me on one thing. You're not going to lose it. If you're thinking about losing your, I don't want to do anything to lose my salvation, God is smiling on you saying, then you shall not. Jesus took the bread and he blessed and broke the bread, saying, this is my body being torn for you. And he looked around and he passed it around. He said, eat and do this in remembrance of me, his body. Last week we learned one of our Christmas presents from God was a father of forgiveness. The gift of forgiveness. Maybe the greatest gift he's ever given to us. He's given us his son. He sits at the right hand to forgive us when we ask. So Lord, this morning in this house, forgive us for our iniquities of this week. Forgive us, Lord, for any doubts, any fears, anything, Lord, that may have separated us from you for even a second. Let us look up to you and hold on to you and be with you, because you do supply all our need. So we're calling on you, Lord. Even now we ask for forgiveness. We even received that forgiveness and we're not even done with forgiveness, and we're asking you to bless us again, because that's faith in you. Cleanse us this morning. Cleanse this house this morning. As he did the wine into the cup, saying, this is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins. Be healed this morning in Jesus' name. I'm not asking you to do what I did. God led me to do what I did a year and a half without a television. If you knew me, that was a year and a half people would never believe. I listened to my Yankee games on the radio and turned the game off when the game was over. I read his book. I read from other pastors' books about the Bible. I read teachings books about the Bible. Then I opened up the Bible again because I was hungry. I needed something more than I had in my life. I needed somebody to help me. I needed God to be near me. I needed to know the mistakes I made so that God could help me get through them. I devoured that book, and it just brought me so many places that I just can't imagine. His blessings are more than I could have ever dreamed for when I follow his book, his leading. When I got closer to God, that's what changed me. That's what the beginning of me was, getting closer to God. I love my pastor's sermons. I love everything that was happening. But it was God's word, the fruit of his word growing inside of me, that what changed me. So I ask you to don't look at me as anything except a messenger. And my message today is give to God. Love God. Trust God. Lean on God. Let him show you. And if you need a little help, look around. You got brothers and sisters here so faithful. Everywhere you look, from the back corner to the right to the back corner to the left, Deacon Bill, you have people you can talk to, people you can trust, people who just want to help you and love you, and people who want to be close to you because they love you. That's what church is for. Take that. Take that blessing from God. Lord, thank you for this day. And thank you, Lord, for your blessings. In Jesus' name I pray. Give him praise, church. Your God never what? Changes. Why doesn't he change? He doesn't have to. Amen? He doesn't need that change. Praise the Lord. I don't care how much you think he doesn't know what's going on. That's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy. No, Dad, one candle I can handle. The other five, that would about... I know, the Advent that time, my arm was on fire. First fruits today. New year. A new year. Next time I see you on this here on a Sunday, it will be a new year. Even if nothing changes, it'll be January 2021. We have begun a new journey.